Welcome to the October 22nd, 2006 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Little Boys with Power Tools. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen. I'm the Associate Pastor of Students and Families here, and we welcome you to worship. We are so glad to see you this morning. As we get started, we would like to know everybody who was here. We have pew pads that we have put on every pew. We invite you to find those. And for members and guests alike, for everyone who is here, to fill that out. Members, you just sign your name, check the appropriate boxes. And guests, we invite you to fill out all the appropriate information. And then send that to the end of the pew so that everybody has opportunity to sign it and then return it to where it came from. Members, we invite you to sneak a peek of a name of somebody that maybe you do not recognize on your pew, and then after the service, make sure that you introduce yourself and say a special welcome to the guests this morning. We appreciate you helping us out with this. Several announcements I'll make. Regular schedule this afternoon, this evening, with a couple of additions. First, parents of all of our teenagers, of our youth, we are having a meeting this afternoon, just a time for a parent fellowship to talk about some things, talking about teenagers, talking about if things going on in our youth ministry. We will meet today at 4:30 in the Adult 4 area. You will find signs that point you in that right direction if you do not know where Adult 4. We will start at 4:30, and that will be over at about 6 o'clock. Several things that we're going to be talking about this afternoon. Also, we want to make a change. All those who have been going to the 6 o'clock Old Testament study, you will be meeting in the Ruth class, which is in the Adult 3 area. If you're not sure where that is, we will have people here to direct you that way. But at 6 o'clock, I think you usually meet in here. Is that right? Usually been meeting in the sanctuary, but you'll be moving to the Ruth class this evening. So just take note of that. Everything else is regular schedule. We do invite you for 7 o'clock for our life service, which happens in Smith Hall every Sunday evening. A great contemporary worship service, very informal, relaxed. Want you to come and to be a part of that. Reminder about next week, and we have a couple things that are happening. Number one is we are having our Fall Family Festival, which happens next Sunday, beginning around 4 o'clock and running till 7. That is an opportunity for the entire church to come. We'll have the inflatable games. We'll have cotton candy. We'll have popcorn. We'll have lots of candy and caffeine and lots of kind of things to enjoy on a Sunday afternoon. We want you to come and to be a part of that. And for this is something for everybody, people of all ages. There is a sign-up sheet to bring some chili and some other items. The sign-up sheet is right at the welcome desk. We invite you to go by there if you're able to help us out providing some food. Otherwise, everything else will be provided. That will be next Sunday from 4 until 7. And then we invite you to stay for the life service where U-Turn, our youth praise band, will be leading that next Sunday evening. Also, we're in the middle of Operation Christmas Child. You had an insert in your bulletin this morning that tells you a little bit about what we're doing. The youth and the children are combining efforts this year to support this this mission effort called Operation Christmas Child. It is an effort to get together new toys, new school supplies, hygiene items, a variety of things, and put them in a shoe-size box to be mailed to children around the world. There are several ways that you can be a part of this. Number one, pray for the effort. Pray for our children and youth as they prepare to put the boxes together. Pray for the movement worldwide, and pray for the children that will be receiving the boxes. Also, you can give donations. There's a list there on your bulletin insert of items that will be going in the boxes. So you can take a look at that list and provide whatever you see fit off of that list, And then third, if you're unable to provide donations, you can want to provide money. We will take donations to the Youth Enrichment Fund, and you can put that on your check and put that $7 goes. We need $7 for every box that we put together. That covers all the shipping cost. Or you can put any amount of money and we can buy extra supplies as we need it. This is a great ministry effort to reach needy children around the world. And we want to, our youth and children will take all the collections, and then on Wednesday night, November the 1st, they will work together and put the boxes together. So this is a great opportunity to share the love of Christ, and we hope that you do as you see fit with that. I think that's all the announcements that I have this morning. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests. You've already given us some information about yourself this morning. We want to give you a little bit of information about our church. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now that they have a packet of information. So if you're a guest this morning, we want you to raise your hand as they come back down the aisle. This packet of information gives you things that are going on in the life of our church. There's a newsletter that shows you things that are happening right now, as well as other items that tell you about what we believe at College Park, things that go on during the year. So just raise your hand and take one of these packets, and we appreciate you joining us for worship this morning. In your bulletin this morning, you will find our invitation to share in worship. This is a responsive reading that we do most every Sunday to join our voices and our hearts together, focusing on Christ as our focus of worship. You will see the invitation to share in worship there. I invite you to stand now for this responsive reading. I invite you to read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord. Your faithfulness, too, in the assembly of the holy ones. In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. You may be seated. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to come into this place and to worship your name. It is overwhelming to consider that we get to come into your presence. That we get to hang out with you. It's overwhelming to know what you did when you sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins. And so, Father, this morning, we are moved. When we think about all that you have done, and we want to give back to you this time of worship, as we join our voices and our hearts together with fellow believers. Hear our worship. May it be pleasing. For we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody come on down. All the children, come on down. All right. That was loud. Yeah. Y'all okay? Come in. Yeah. Let's see. I have a few gifts. We still got more. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right. We still got more coming. Wow. Everybody doing okay? Yeah, excited about being at church this morning? Hearing Mr. Raymond preach? Yeah, I'd say yeah. Yeah, okay. We won't. All right. I've got a few things here. Now, if I pass some of these out, and I thought I'd have enough, but not everybody can get one, but you're going to need to share. Okay, do you promise not to, like, hurt each other if I pass these out? I've got a little. Let's see. Here's one. Who wants that one? I've got red. All right. How about, there's one. I'll never get these back. Here's another one. Oh, here's some little ones. Who wants the little ones? Okay. What do these do? What are these? Okay. We got a few more. Wow. We got a lot in here. Here you go, Matthew, you take that one. Okay. There you go, Harrison. Be very careful. Be very careful. All right. Got a lot of them in here. There you go. Who wants it? There we go. Just hold them to yourself. All right. Who else? Want another one? There you go. Why? Okay, there you go. You can do that. That's for Miss Jennifer. Let's see. Who's got... who's got the best one?
I do.
Why that one? Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Well, let's see. What about, here's another one. Who wants that one? Who wants this one? Okay. All right. Here you go, Bryce. Now, who's got the best one now?
Me.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah. No, this is mine. This is mine. Who has the best one? Why? Why is this the best one?
It's biggest.
Biggest? All right. Listen. I want you to listen. Listen to it. Oh, yeah. Isn't that good? That sounds good. Which is the best? I think it's this one. What? No, now, listen to the difference between and. You hear it? And. It's a big difference. Now, we think stuff like this is the best because it's the strongest. It's the most powerful. Is that what Jesus says?
No.
What does Jesus say?
He says God is the most powerful.
That's right. God is the most powerful. And what does he want? What does he want from us? Put him down. Put him down. Don't use them as weapons. All right? God says, you and I, we're not supposed to try to be the most powerful. We're supposed to help people and serve people, not to go after what's the most powerful. And that's what Raymond's going to be talking about today. The disciples, they wanted power. They wanted to be on his right hand or his left hand. But Jesus said, no, you have to serve. And that's what he wants us to do. Okay? Let's bow our heads together. God, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity to learn. And we all the time, we want to be powerful, we want to be strong, we want to be big. But what Jesus calls us to do is to serve and to love. And that's what you want from us. Help us to know how to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all come give me all your toys, weapons. Put them in here, and you can go sit back down, and thank you. Nice job. Good job. Go sit back. Very good. Who knew I needed all these screwdrivers? That's good. That's good. Nice job. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
As we transition into the sharing of the ministry of God's Word through the reading of Scripture, I'll begin in the Old Testament in the book of Job, and as printed in your order of worship, we'll be sharing from the 38th chapter of Job, the first 7 verses. From Job chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy." And from the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, the 5th chapter, first 10 verses. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and who are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. May God bless the reading and understanding of His holy word. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, in the still and quiet of this beautiful, beautiful room, and in this hour of worship, we pray to You. We come before You as humble servants, not worthy to be able to speak to You directly in prayer, but blessed because You allow us to do so. Lord, in this hour of worship, we have been invoked to worship in Your name. We have shared songs and sung hymns in praise of Your name. We have offered up prayers in Your name as we do now. Lord, as we do all this, allow our minds to be focused on the greatness of the blessing that we have to know You. Lord, worship is for You. We are fortunate to benefit from it in the time of sharing with You, in the time of communion and worship. But we're here because of You. Lord, we need to, whether we admit it or not, allow You to take further control of our lives. We need to submit to You and allow You to direct our paths, direct our tongues, direct our actions. Lord, sometimes with good intentions, we make bad decisions. Sometimes with hopeful hearts, we do things that are not in accordance with Your will. Lord, we need Your leadership this week. As we come to You in prayer, both on our own behalf and on behalf of our fellow brothers and sisters, we ask that this week, Lord, that You help our eyes and our ears to be mindful of the message that You have for us. That You direct us, Lord, so that we may do Your will, that we may do good in Your name, that we may help reach others for You. Lord, we do offer prayers on behalf of our brothers and sisters and count it a blessing to be able to do so. Lord, many among us are hurting, as You well know, and we believe in the power of prayer. We, as the people of God, believe in the power of our lifting up of in prayer of those who are hurting, those who are in need, and those who need to find You. Lord, this morning, as part of our worship, we remember them. We lift them up. We ask that You surround them with Your arms, with Your strength, with Your warmth, and guide them, heal them, touch them, cure them. And Lord, we know that You are the reason for everything. You are the reason for all of the blessings in our lives. We thank You for the special moments of this past week, the things that we didn't expect, the things that we didn't deserve, but the things that You gave us anyway, because You love us more than we could ever imagine. Lord, help us to seek more this week to understand that love, to grow closer to You through prayer, meditation, Bible study, so that we may be better prepared to discover Your will and to do Your will this week, that we may be better prepared to minister and serve our brothers and sisters, so we may be better prepared to do what You would have us to do. Lord, thank You for the blessing of being able to come to You in prayer. And it is in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.
May we pray. O Lord, with the trees adorned in the glorious autumn colors, we are so aware of the beautiful creation you've blessed us with. And we're aware of our obligation to be good stewards of this creation, to take care of this planet you have given us. And Lord, we also are so grateful the way that you have blessed us with talents and with other material resources. And we know you want us to be just as good as stewards of those. Please accept these gifts we're about to give you. Please use these to feed the hungry, to shelter the homeless, and to carry the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, throughout all the world. Please accept these gifts. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
take these hands and lift them up, for I have not the strength to praise you near enough. See, I have nothing, I have nothing without. Take my voice and pour it out. Let us sing the songs of mercy I have found. For I have nothing, I have nothing without you. And all my soul.
Thank you, eyewitness. We're going to be reading, continuing reading from Mark chapter 10 this morning. I invite you to take your Bible. Join with me in Mark chapter 10. We'll be reading verses 35 through 45. It's a familiar story again to many of you. And we'll be looking at this unusual request from two brothers. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? We can. They answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. And Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." May God bless the reading and our understanding of these verses. As I said, we've heard these verses, this story, many times. I want to tell you another story. It's a story that has some form or fashion in almost every culture, especially modern cultures, but also in ancient cultures. It's told in different ways. But the basic storyline goes like this. There is a monarch, a king, a ruler, and that ruler is challenged to consider the poor. The poor in the kingdom that have sometimes been forgotten. And so one day this monarch, this ruler, this king goes and takes on a disguise and goes and lives and walks, eats, sleeps, dwells with those that are poor and forgotten, the common people. He spends time walking with them. And he learns what it is to live under the sometimes oppressive laws of the government that's placed over them. Returning to the palace after this experience is concluded, the king is changed by what he has experienced in those days, and the state of the government becomes much more friendly to those that it rules over. As I said, you've probably heard that story in some form or fashion. Almost every culture has a tale like this, and the question is, why does this tale, why is it so popular among so many people in so many cultures? And I believe personally it's because those who are in authority need to understand, they need to know what it's like to live under that same authority. And I think it's because people don't often see that kind of understanding. That can be true in nations. It can be true in the workplace. And yes, it can even be true in church. Whether we use church with a capital C as in all of Christendom or even a local church. Now, in our story this morning, we have an interesting predicament. We have two brothers who come together and they ask Jesus a question. Mark puts this story in a very interesting place in his gospel account. If you'll recall in previous weeks, what have we been talking about? We've been talking about becoming humble, becoming dependent, about serving other people. And then this story of these two brothers pops in here. Perhaps we are to see these brothers as just kind of biding their time. Perhaps we're to see these brothers as so preoccupied with what they want that they've missed all that Jesus has been teaching. They're kind of waiting it out. They've missed what he's been teaching, and instead they come to him and say, "Teacher, we want you to do for us what we ask." And then they elaborate, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." Now, no doubt, they had in mind something along the line of what we would picture a throne or a palace or something like that, and Jesus sitting in the center, and one of them on the left, and one of them on the left, maybe with an extra scepter to go around where they can sit there and be rulers. But they would see themselves, no doubt, as benevolent, kind rulers. Rulers that would serve gently yet firmly with Jesus, as co-rulers with Jesus, on his right and on his left. Now, to us, that may seem extremely arrogant. What are these guys thinking? I mean, Jesus has just been... What are you guys thinking? That seems extremely arrogant. But think about it. It probably was quite logical in their minds. They're living under the oppression of the Roman Empire. They're thinking, we've seen this guy work. he has got the power to overthrow the Roman Empire, which is saying something, because Rome was a formidable opponent, to say the least. But he's got the power. Now, if he'd just share a little bit with us, we can overthrow this, and we can set up a benevolent, kinder, gentler government. One that will be kind to the people. And of course, if there's a government, there needs to be leaders. And somebody's got to do it. Who better than me and my brother? Right? So it seems quite reasonable. What may be ironic, I would say if your mind works like mine, but that would scare you to death. But if your mind works at all like mine, you may have already visualized, you may have fast-forwarded in this gospel to the only picture of someone at Jesus' right and at his left. Do you know what that picture is? The crucifixion. I have no doubt in my mind that that's hardly anyone's realization of glory and power, especially prior to the crucifixion. I would also dare say that that's not at all what these brothers had in mind when they came to Jesus and said, "We want to be on your right and on your left." Jesus asked them, "Can you partake of this cup?" And he was talking about the cup of suffering. And they said, "Well, yes, we're up to this." And they were talking about the cup of glory and power. And Jesus told them, "You will indeed share." And that's exactly what happened. But not near in the way that they had thought. Now, put your place in the other 10. The other 10 disciples, they had witnessed what was going on here. Can you imagine what was going through their heads? The nerve of those guys. That's what they were saying to one another. The nerve of them going over there. What they were saying to themselves is, "Boy, I wish I'd thought of that. Man, they beat me to the punch." Not really, but then maybe, given human nature. What were they upset about most? We really don't know, but they were obviously very disturbed by what had been happening. And Jesus uses that moment. He uses the moment to teach them. To teach them about leadership. What it means to be a leader. And I am certain in my mind that Mark put this exactly where he meant to put it. Because he wanted to draw a contrast between what Jesus was teaching and what they were thinking. They still didn't get it. And maybe Mark was trying to tell the church, the early church leadership, of which he was a part of, we still haven't gotten it yet, maybe. This is what leadership is supposed to be about. Look in verses 42 and following again. Jesus called them together, meaning all the 12, called them together and says, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be," who? "A servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." Oh, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus said, don't be like those worldly leaders around you. Don't be like them. And he knew exactly what they meant when he said that. Because they could see what was around them. They could see Herod's palace. They could see the governors parading around. They could even see the priest and how they treated people that were under their authority. Or should I say mistreated people who were under their authority. I'm sure in my own mind that the 12 believed that they could be different. They could be better rulers. They could be benevolent rulers, taking care of people. What they didn't understand is there's a big difference between Jesus and benevolence. Consider this. A benevolent ruler waves to the masses, the adoring crowds from the rooftop. Jesus walked and talked among the people. He let the people press upon him to the point where he was physically exhausted. A benevolent ruler sends servant to care for the needs of the guest. Jesus invited the guest, and then he washed their feet. A benevolent ruler hopes that all the people will be fed. Jesus took the bread and the fish, and he broke it until everyone was fed. A benevolent ruler sees that the laws are applied as fairly as possible to as many people as possible. And Jesus taught that God's love is the law that we live by. A benevolent ruler may even actually give up something for another person. Jesus said that he gave his life as a ransom. So if we, the followers of Jesus, if the 12 as the followers of Jesus are supposed to move into a different kind of leadership role, to be one of a servant, what does that mean? What does that really mean for us? What does that mean in 21st century America at 1701 Polo Road? I think it's for every person to discern as God leads. But I do believe that our Lord must be disgusted with the state of religion, especially in America. It's become about power. It's become about marketing. It's become big business. We organize ourselves sometimes, unfortunately, with the goal, the same goals that businesses have. Instead of giving of ourselves, we're concerned about gathering, taking. It's become about power and the exercising of that power over other people. It's become less about the power of the Holy Spirit and more about the power that we can gather as people. As Jeff was talking with the children during children's time, it was great to see their expressions. Because when that power comes out, oh, yes. It's about the power. And it is about the power, but it's the wrong power most of the time for us. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit and how we open ourselves up to be vessels for the power of the Holy Spirit to flow through us. We're not supposed to keep or contain the power of the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be a vehicle by which it flows and blesses other people. It's not about us. It's about others. Jesus came to give of himself. And that is the model that we're supposed to follow. It's a gentleman named Ron Heifetz. And he recorded in a book called Leadership on the Line. He's a big guru of leadership training. And he tells a story about when he and his wife were in England. They were on their way to a leadership training seminar where they were representatives from all over the world that were coming to hear what it means to be an effective leader, what that means for us. He and his wife were both there in England. They are both Jewish. And so they were there around the time of Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year. And they had hoped to be in a synagogue to observe the holiday when it came. They knew that there were synagogues in London, but alas, as timing found itself, they were out in the countryside when Rosh Hashanah arrived, nowhere near a synagogue. But on a whim, they happened to pass by an Anglican church in the countryside, and they said, let's stop here. Let's just stop here. It's Rosh Hashanah. We need to find somewhere to reflect. And so we'll go in this little church. So they went in this small Anglican church, and there Ron found himself in a bit of a spiritual conflict. Because there he was, and he saw this crucifix. Now, Ron was aware in his own mind of what he felt like was persecution of the Jews by those who called themselves Christians. And so he found himself in a little bit of a dilemma there as he saw Jesus on the cross on this crucifix. But nevertheless, he decided he was going to ask Jesus to show him what it meant to experience the cross. What is the significance of that? He opened himself up and he and his wife talked about it. And they began to say, God, whatever it is that you want to show us through this experience of being here on Rosh Hashanah, seeing Jesus on the cross, show that to us. He felt suddenly led to ask his wife to go with him, and they went out into this small courtyard right outside the church. They sat there under a tree in this deserted courtyard, and he asked his wife to do something very unusual. And I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. If you are able, I want to ask you to stand right now. What Ron asked his wife to do that day is what I'm going to ask you to do. And that is to spread your arms out in a cruciform pose. Don't hit the person beside you. Be considerate. After she had held the pose and he had joined her in holding the pose, he looked at her and he said, "How does this make you feel?" I ask you the same question. How does this make you feel? How does this pose make you feel? Her response was very vulnerable. You may be seated. She said, "Very vulnerable." And he realized that was his lesson from God on that day. That the secret to Jesus' leadership was in his vulnerability. Not in his power wielding, but in his vulnerability. Jesus was such a great leader because he was open and vulnerable to the people, to the experiences of life. The story made such an impact on him, he actually recorded it in this book, Leadership on the Line, and ironically enough, it was published by Harvard Business School, their publishing company through Harvard Business School. He was taught a valuable lesson that day, but we need to learn the same lesson. That's exactly what we know of the life and ministry of Jesus, is that he was a servant. He made himself vulnerable so that others could learn how to make themselves vulnerable. He inspires all of us to follow him because he was willing to give up being at his Father's side, which is what these gentlemen had requested. He had given that up to come make himself vulnerable, to become one of us, to walk and talk and teach us what it meant to give of ourselves. That's the lesson that we learn from this story. That's the lesson of what it means to be the kind of leader that we should be. One who experiences vulnerability and one who serves, not one who plays with power tools. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we pray that in these moments that you would transform our hearts and our minds, so that we would fully understand what it means to be a servant, to be called to give of ourselves, to be vulnerable. Father, we pray that we would surrender all that we are and all that we have to you in this moment, and that we would trust you completely in the minutes, the hours, the days, the weeks, the years to come, that you would guide us and that you would strengthen us, not for our own purposes, but to give ourselves away. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This morning, as you've experienced worship together, I hope that you have been transformed. That is our goal, to submit ourselves to the power and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to be transformed, to be renewed. And we want to give you a chance to respond to that. Maybe you're not a believer. You don't know what it means to be vulnerable and to experience a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to give you a chance to receive him. So if you would like to do so, please, I'd be glad to speak with you during our time of invitation, or I'd be glad to speak with you following the service this morning. Perhaps you are here and you want to recommit yourself to being the kind of leader that God has called us to be and Jesus gave us an example of. You can certainly do that in a time of confession and commitment where you are, but if you would like to come here and pray at the front, we invite you to do that. Many of you, I know, have expressed a desire to come and pray that the Holy Spirit would be free to be here with us during our time of invitation. We want to invite you to come and pray as well. And maybe you'd like to be a part of this congregation. We have many ways we receive members, and we'd be glad to share that with you as well. Whatever your decision is, we will invite you to make that public or to make that private, however you feel led, as we stand and sing together.
Thank you.
invite you to hear this benediction from God's holy word. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord cast his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.